Our reading for this morning is taken from St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 28. St. Paul is here addressing the pastors of the city of Ephesus before he leaves. He has been instructing them for the past 3 years. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've been in the YFAC building, you have seen the name of the Sig Lee Theater. When I was a young boy, Sig Lee and his wife asked me to come and babysit their two young children. And their little boy, Eric, was about 3 or 4 years old. I had just gotten to the house, and Eric ran out into the backyard to play on the swing set. Within about 3 minutes, he was swinging so high and fast on the glider and fell off. And the glider came back and hit him in the mouth and knocked out his tooth, and he was bleeding all over. The parents hadn't even left yet. And this poor kid was bleeding from the mouth. And when I've told that story to some people later on, they said, "Why in the world would anybody ask you to babysit?" And I get that. I was probably 12th on the list. When your parents decided to find someone to take care of you, knowing how much they loved you and how much your welfare meant to them and means to them, I'm sure that they did quite a vetting process to figure out who would be someone to whom I could entrust the care of my child, even for a few hours. And if you were a young child and you found out about or discovered that vetting process for the care that would be placed over you, you would come to appreciate at least a little bit the great love that your parents have for you. And someday, if you're blessed to be a parent, you'll really understand that. Our Heavenly Father has laid a tremendous burden of responsibility on certain individuals in this world to take care of us spiritually. He calls them into the office of the public ministry, and he entrusts the sheep of Christ into their care. And you can see the extreme value that we, the sheep of Christ, have in the eyes of God, our Heavenly Father. Paul says that he has purchased us with his blood, purchased us with his blood, pointing us back again to the great vicarious atonement of our Lord on the cross for our sins. Here, God, in these words, permits you once again to see just how valuable and important and significant you are in his eyes. That the work of the mission of Christ was to come into this world and to save you and me and to bring us ultimately to heaven above. And you and I are of the highest importance to God, and the care for us, the care for our souls, the care for helping us stay with Christ through law and gospel and through the instruction we receive in his word is of extreme importance to God. And you can sense that even here as Paul is getting ready to leave these pastors that he has been instructing for these years. And he's really laying it on their shoulders how important their task is now to be. Your eternal welfare is why Christ has established the office of the public ministry. It's a very strange, unique, and peculiar office. It's different than any other relationship that a professional person may have to you, like a doctor or a lawyer or whatever else you want to come up with. A pastor is a unique office who cares about your soul, who cares about you someday standing before God in the judgment scene. It's an office in this world that our culture and world despises and ridicules and makes fun of. But to those who assume these responsibilities and do it the way God has asked, they realize the tremendous significance that he places in this office. In going through seminary, there is a course that's called pastoral theology that teaches you how to deal, especially with particular difficult situations in the ministry. And on the opening page of that book, I just read through it again last summer. On the opening page of that book, our professor had us write down some notes. And these were six questions that he asked us to think through before we assume the office of being a pastor. And we're called into that. He said, first of all, do you like people? If you don't like people, don't be a pastor. Do you consider yourself to be above the lay people? Thirdly, are you willing to be imposed upon? Fourth, have you trained yourself to listen to others? Fifth, can you not only forgive, but forget? And sixth, are you entering the ministry to serve? These are very important questions for pastors and theologians to continue asking themselves when we're placed in roles of leadership and oversight in the work of the church. The problems that St. Paul is warning about to these Ephesians pastors, the challenges that may be coming are really not external issues, but rather potentially internal problems and issues. The great dangers that can potentially come to the church rarely come from atheism, rarely come from Hinduism, rarely come from Islam, but they typically come from those who are already inside of the church. Those who stand and profess Christ in some way, shape, or form, but begin to pervert, as Paul says here, pervert and twist and change the doctrine, sometimes ever so slightly and ever so slowly. This is what St. Paul is warning the flock of Christ about, and especially these shepherds who are taking care of that flock. Now listen to his words again to these pastors. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. That means pay attention to yourself first. Take heed to yourselves, he says, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then he says, savage wolves will come in among you. From among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. From the clergy, it's very rare that false doctrine comes into the church through a laity, once in a while, but it's pretty rare if you study the history of the church. It's the pastors, it's the theologians, it's the head of seminaries, it's religion professors, it's chaplains at Christian colleges. This is where the false doctrine and heresy often creeps into the church. And so we are to watch out for ourselves, he says. Pay attention to your doctrine, pay attention to your life, likewise. So there's a message here for those of us in those positions of leadership. Take heed to yourselves. There was a Norwegian bishop years ago who taught pastors over in Norway, and he had a great saying. He put it like this: where the heart of the local shepherd is not with the good shepherd, there the sheep will be poorly watched. Now, there's also a message here for the sheep of Christ, those of us who are in his flock under the care of pastors. First of all, we should be grateful to God that he has established this special office of oversight and understand it's part of the gospel, it's part of the care for us to get to heaven. Secondly, it is an essential office in the church. It's not something that can be discarded or bypassed. It's not something that we should think is irrelevant and that we can maybe come up with something new on our own. Christ has instituted it. He has established it for a purpose and for a reason. The sheep need watching. They need oversight and they need shepherding. Thirdly, those who hold this office and faithfully teach and confess the word of Christ and administer his sacraments are to be honored by God's people in a position of special leadership in the church and yet a servant leadership. But fourthly, at the same time, those who hold this office are sinful, flawed human beings, and they do have the potential to misguide the sheep and to get off course. And so the sheep must continue likewise to study the truths of Scripture so that they can keep their shepherds in line. And that's one of the reasons this college has been established. It's not just to send out leaders into our churches as far as pastors, teachers, and so on, but the laity, you, the people that will be sitting in the pews, you keep an eye on your shepherds. You keep an eye on their doctrine. You make sure that what they're teaching is in line with the Word of God in all of its parts. And in this way, the church is truly blessed. We recall that this very St. Paul even had to straighten out St. Peter himself in the city of Antioch because he was doing something that was already causing damage to the gospel. When I was a little boy, I was blessed with very wonderful and faithful pastors. And even though when I enter heaven by God's grace, my greatest expression of gratitude is going to be to the triune God for all the work of getting me there, I do also plan to go and visit those men as well and thank them for their blessed oversight. May God give us hearts of faith to see the wonderful blessings of this office. Amen. Please rise. Today we honor a prayer request from one of our alumni, Carl Vierk, who has asked for a prayer on behalf of his wife, Carol, who undergoes surgery tomorrow. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, at your invitation and through the merits of Christ, we bring our petitions before you today on behalf of your child, Carol. Grant wisdom and ability to her surgeon and those who will care for her so that she may be brought safely through this ordeal according to your will. Above all, we ask that you would strengthen her by your word and reassure her and her family of your gracious care. Look in mercy upon your flock. Protect it and sanctify it by your truth. May your word be taught in its purity and your sacraments rightly administered. Grant unto your church faithful pastors who shall declare your truth with power and shall live according to your will. Send forth laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith unto all unbelievers and unto the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of your church and grant to them repentance unto life. We ask it all in the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen.